Good afternoon. K-12 subcommittee will come to order. Anne, if you'll please call the roll.
Chair Atkins.
Here.
Vice Chair Diaz.
Here.
Ranking Member Clark Reed. Representative Baxley.
Here.
Gracie. Castor Dental.
Here.
Eagle.
Yes.
Hood.
Here.
Porter.
Here.
Rayburn. Renuart.
Here.
Stark.
Here.
Zimmerman. We have a quorum.
Very good. Let the record show that a quorum is present and that Ranking Member Clark Reed has an excused absence for today. Just a reminder, please turn your cell phones off. Make sure your microphone is on and off when you're speaking or not speaking, and ask you also to please go through the chair. Anyone who wishes to speak at the committee meeting, if you'll please fill out the appearance card. Today we have three bills. We have House Bill 87, Fine Arts, by Representative McBurney. Hold on. We're not ready yet. Sorry. Okay. We have House Bill 279 by Representative Hill, dealing with public school instruction. And we have PCS for HB 707, dealing with background screening. I know Representative Hill has a committee that he needs to go to quickly, so we're going to hear his bill first. And then, Representative McBurney, we will get to you shortly.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I appreciate that. Thank you, committee members. I'm here to present to you House Bill 279, Public School Instruction. This has to do with the public school teachers being required to teach the terrorist attacks, which happened September 11, 2001, and the impact that the event had on our nation. I would like to mention that this bill passed unanimously by this committee last year. And I also want to thank Representative Diaz and Hood for their co-sponsorship of this bill. I would like to affectionately call it the Clay Ford bill. I had the honor of fulfilling Clay Ford's term. This was his bill last year that he tried to get through, and unfortunately, because of his untimely death, he was unable to finish it. So it's my honor to carry that bill forward. This seeks to include that the terrorist attacks of 9/11 are included in public school instructions according to Florida Statute 1003.42. Right now, according to that statute, teachers are required to teach about American history, and this would make sure that the 9/11 attack is included as part of that history instruction. And with that, Madam Chairman, I would take any questions.
All right, members, do we have any questions on the bill? Representative Eagle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Hill, for bringing this forward. Very, very good bill. I just have one important question, and that is, could you point out to the members of the committee where we can find the relevant rigor in this bill?
The relevant rigor. I'm sorry, Representative Eagle. I'm unable to do that.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
Would you say that this bill is both relevant and rigorous towards the curriculum, the education that we'd be putting forward?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would, Representative Eagle. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Zimmerman, and then followed by Castor Dental.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to say that I think this is a wonderful bill, but I'm a little bit confused because it says public school teachers and doesn't clarify which public school teachers. Would this be required by math teachers, and would it be required of every teacher or just history teachers?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, this would just be required by history teachers, perhaps social study classes. We're not going to define specifically. We're leaving it wide open intentionally.
Follow up?
Go ahead.
It might be better to require that public schools rather than public school teachers. That way it would give the school the option of where they could place it, or the school districts of where they could put this in the curriculum. Do you agree?
Chair. I agree. I think that is a good suggestion, and we'll consider putting that in. Thank you.
Representative Castor Dental for question.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you. I also support teaching this important event in our history. Do you know if this is already covered in the Common Core standards?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if it is one of the events that is included in Common Core. We have contacted some of the school districts. We haven't had any one say that they don't want to teach this. And in fact, Several schools are teaching it now, but I don't know if it's part of Common Core.
I'm going to let Vice Chair Diaz comment on that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, I am a prime co-sponsor of this great bill with Representative Hill. Common Core doesn't address this subject area. It only addresses the English and the math. So it's not a Common Core issue. This is simply a general issue of having students learn the incidents that took place on September 11th, and it doesn't really prescribe the how the teaching occurs. As a classroom teacher, you would have the leeway to work it into your lessons. The intent of the bill is to make sure that it's not forgotten and that our next generation of kids coming through our school systems are aware that this occurred, just like they should be aware of, you know, D-Day and World War II and other things that occurred in our history. I think this is an important event that has changed our country for good, and I think they need to be aware of it. So there's no strings attached. It's more of it has to be included. I think that leaving it up to the professionals in the classroom on how they teach it is what the intention is here.
Any other questions, members? Representative Stark, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much for bringing this bill up. Teaching about this period in our history is so important. I just had one question, and I'm sure that this is probably in the affirmative, but with do we have to add new textbooks? Or is this a revenue a neutral bill, I'm assuming? Thank you.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's a great question. It is revenue neutral. The curriculum for this will be provided free of charge by the Library of Congress. That a school district simply has to request it. It will be sent to them. They can also download it offline at the Library of Congress website.
Any other questions? Do you have any appearance cards? No. Okay. Debate on the bill, members. Representative Baxley, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for this good bill. I rise in support of it. Matter of fact, I just texted my LA to make sure we co-sponsor on it. I know where I was on 9/11, and I know the significance to this country. We were actually in this building, some of us that were members at that time. Maybe I'm the only one. But one concern I do have as you move forward is a context, and I think it is appropriate that you think about adding a context. I was in a discussion with another member who, in our age and time, we used to have a required course, Americanism versus Communism. Only his teacher was a communist. And I think a Taliban member would teach this course quite different than a retired Army colonel or Air Force officer. And I don't know exactly how to position that, but just like you could teach the Holocaust from a very different perspective, I would want to make sure that there was a little bit of coloring of perspective on America's interest and the significance of being attacked on our own soil and the economics and world impact that this had. So, yes, I'm very much in favor of it, but I would also like for you to think about adding some contextual color to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Baxley. Anyone else in debate? You're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would agree with you, Representative Baxley, on that. If they use the material that's available with the Library of Congress, they will see that it's very factual. It just describes the events in some detail, actually how it happened. So we will include that. Thank you for that. And I would just like to add in closing, Madam Chair, that yesterday I had the honor of being sworn in to this fine body, this legislative body, and next to me were two young men. One of them, the youngest, Jonathan, has just recently enlisted to be a Marine, and he will be going to Parris Island in August and potentially could be placed in harm's way because of what happened at 9/11. So this bill has personal significance for me, that I have a young man who's going to be going to serve this country, and it could very well be because of place in a position of the events that happened at 9/11, and I would request your favorable support of this bill. Thank you.
Very good. Anna, if you'll please call the roll.
Chair Atkins?
Yes.
Representative Baxley?
Yes.
Bracey?
Yes.
Castor-Dantle?
Yes.
Clark Reed, Diaz,
yes.
Eagle,
yes.
Hood,
yes.
Porter,
yes.
Rayburn,
yes.
Renouart, Stark,
yes.
Zimmerman.
Yes.
Bill passes.
Very good. By your vote, House Bill 279 will be reported favorably.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members.
Very good. Next up, we have Representative McBurney, House Bill 87, Fine Arts Courses. You're recognized, Representative McBurney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this bill is designed to provide incentive to teach arts in our schools. A recent study of about 200,000 Florida students shows empirically a direct correlation between participation in the arts and performance in the classroom. The first programs to be cut when there are hard times, and I know because I've been there, are the arts. This bill would include an annual report of student access to and participation in fine arts courses, along with the certification status and the manner in which the schools are providing the core curriculum content. This bill would also require the data collected by the Department of Education to be on their website, to be better accessible to parents and Floridians. This bill is identical to the one that was passed through this committee last year, but does not include any reference to bonus points. That's the bill, Madam Chair.
Very good. Members, do we have any questions? No questions. Do we have any appearance cards? All right, we have Kathleen Sands with the Center for Fine Arts Education. Very good. Raves in support. All right. Members, do we have any debate on this bill? You're recognized to close.
Brave close, Madam Chair.
All right. Ann, if you'll please call the roll.
Chair Atkins?
Yes.
Representative Baxley?
Yes.
Bracey?
Yes.
Castor Dental?
Yes.
Clark Reed? Diaz?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hood?
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
Rayburn?
Yes.
Renouart, Stark,
yes.
Zimmerman.
Yes.
The bill passes.
Very good. By your vote, House Bill 87 will be reported favorably.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, next we have PCS for House Bill 707 by Representative Diaz. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. PCS for House Bill 707 is referring to background screening for personnel and contractors to have direct contact with students or access to school campuses. It reorganizes the language relating to the background screening. The PCS allows screening results for virtual instruction program personnel to be shared among school districts, reducing the cost of repeated background screening. Virtual instructor providers cross county lines now, and in the current state, they would have to go to each individual district to get their fingerprints and pay a fee again. So this would amend it so that the districts can use the same fingerprints within a five-year period. It adds several crimes to the list of disqualifying criminal offenses against which personnel with direct student contact are screened. The PCS requires FDLE to enroll background screening fingerprints in the National Retained Print Arrest Notification Program once the program is operational. The program will be operational later this year. The PCS requires FDLE to notify a school district whenever an arrest record is identified with the retained fingerprints of a district employee or a contractor, either by the FDLE or by the FBI through the national program. And participation in the National Retained Arrest Print Notification Program eliminates the need to undergo a federal background check every 5 years, and this has a potential cost saving for enrollment in the national program is $13, whereas the fee for the federal check every 5 years is $16.50. Madam Chair, that's the bill.
Very good. Thank you. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Zimmerman for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, first of all, I like the part of this bill that pertains to not having every county have to do this background check. I am a little concerned, though. Is this bill specify that somebody who's volunteering and passes a level two screening, their fingerprints are then retained in a federal database, even though they have not committed any crime?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The bill is dealing with the next level for contractors and deals with people who are receivers of Florida certificates. So what this will do is within a five-year period, if you have used the fingerprints at one of the districts, any of the other districts in the state of Florida will be able to access those. Your fingerprints don't change, so there's no reason we should be asking you to come to another district and go through the same procedure and pay a fee if your fingerprints are already in there and have been cleared. Also, It does notify all the districts which you have contact with if there is an arrest. So by removing the county lines, everybody does have to be informed if there is an arrest because they have to make a decision on whether you can continue to have contact with the kids or not.
Follow-up? Is this database accessible by police agencies or any other agencies? I'm a little concerned, obviously, and I'm trying to get this across, that somebody who has never committed a crime, their prints are being retained in the database for possibly ever, and that seems to be an infringement on personal rights. Is that the case?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair. Your prints now, if you voluntarily participate in a program and receive a certificate in the state of Florida, as you probably know, are retained, and FDLE is the agency that does it. If there's a hit on a person who I hold the Florida certificate, there's a hit on your certificate. If you get arrested, there's a hit. It is reported. So that already exists. What we're doing is allowing the other counties to have access so they don't have to bring you in and redo your fingerprints. So that should answer your question. It's not a new retention of the prints. What we're doing is allowing the other counties access so there's no redundancy.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Representative Castor Dintel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to follow up on what Representative Zimmerman may have been discussing. I understand that the fingerprints of employees may be held in a statewide database, but I'm looking at an analysis that says that this would be held with the FBI in a national retained arrest print notification program, so that it's not just the county borders that we're trying to remove, but then the state borders as well. Is that in? Do you see that in this bill?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The FBI database, what it says is if you're arrested anywhere, the districts would receive notification. So in other words, we're not passing out your personal information out to anywhere else. But if there is a hit on an arrest on the FBI system, then it will come back to the FDLE, and we're able to get that back to our districts. That's extremely important, you know, obviously with teachers, but it's even more important with contractors where the relationship is a little different. So it gives us a safety net of notification, but we're not sharing any more information other than if there is a hit on the prints.
All right, thank you.
Representative Stark for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll direct the question to Representative Diaz. At least one of these school districts had sent me a message that they were concerned about that the bill may set us up for a future of unfunded mandates. And I'd like to know if you could respond. I'm not sure what they're referring to, but since it was sent to me, I'd like to bring that up.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill has been vetted by the Superintendents Association and most of the districts. I don't see where there's any unfunded mandate here. All this is doing is basically blurring the county lines. It will be a cost savings for teachers, especially that are teaching in multiple programs and go across county lines. Most of these teachers that do this already work for one of the districts, and if they want to teach part-time for Florida Virtual or another provider, they have to go to each one of these districts and redo their fingerprints. So I don't see where there's any kind of unfunded mandate.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Do you have any appearance cards? Seeing none, members, debate on the bill. Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
Wave closed, Madam Chair.
Ann, if you'll please call the roll.
Chair Atkins?
Yes.
Representative Baxley?
Yes.
Racy?
Yes.
Castor Dintel? Clark Reed?
Yes.
Diaz?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hood?
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
Rayburn?
Yes.
Renuart? Stark?
Yes.
Zimmerman?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Very good. By your vote, PCS for HB 707 will be reported favorably.
I think we're done.
So, members, that's it.
That's it.
Thank you for your attendance, for your questions, for your participation. And so Representative Diaz moves we rise. Without objection, show the motion adopted, and our meeting is adjourned.